Have you been injured at work and need help getting the benefits you deserve? Call me, attorney Steve Marte, at 312-312-HURT for a free consultation. That's 312-312-HURT. I will personally handle your claim from start to finish. Call me, Steve Marte, today.
Broadcasting live from the First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank, State Street Studio.
This is ESPN 1000.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
WMVP WSHE-HD2, Chicago.
This is Waddle and Sylvie.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
All right, White Sox lose 9-5. Waddle, this is called Guaranteed Rate Field. It's where the White Sox play here on the south side.
Yeah, listen, just because you've got back sweat still, dripping from your upper back region because you're a Cub fan in White Sox territory, don't try to take the attention away from you and put it on me.
You tweeted that out, didn't you?
I did.
Did you tweet out the?
Yeah, you look like a Cubs fan that was a little sweaty because he was in enemy territory, so to speak.
There goes Connor.
Connor, great job as always.
Waddle turned to Connor Meller. You'll love this. And he said, Connor, I just got to tell you.
I didn't say that. That's not how I led the comment.
And it was like this really quiet Waddle voice that he uses. And he goes, Connor, you're really good.
No, you do a great job.
You do a great job. And Meller, I said it was the first time that Waddle had ever heard the White Sox postgame
Which
show.
Isn't true. Like, again, that's what you do. You pollute quality moments and bring everything down. That's what you do. You bring everything down.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that? So
we were here for Partner Day at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Yes, we were.
A lot of our great partners from ESPN 1000 were out with us. We had a super suite down the
left
field line.
That was a super-sized suite.
It was Super Bears, Super Bowl, Super Suite is what it was. And that's like where they've got room for 100. And it's like three or four suites combined into one gigantic suite.
It's very nice.
With lots of lounging and lots of...
Speaking of lounging, you look like you're making yourself at home here. Your feet kicked up on Connor's, on his work area right there.
Very serious.
Is this what you wanted to do, like, when you were growing up? Like, did you want to be, like, a play-by-play guy for a professional sports franchise?
Are you kidding? Yeah,
or did
I mean,
you want to just...
Those were my heroes.
Like, I know, like but some people... You know, their goal wasn't to be a play-by-play guy. It was to do different things, like to be a sportscaster on television or to do a radio show. Did you want to be the voice of your...
Yeah, and like a booth like this was like sacred ground.
Right?
Like to all the legends who have sat in all the different booths in baseball.
So sacred you put your shoe up on.
Well, this is Connor's booth, though. Not that he doesn't do great work, because I do listen to him.
Yeah.
But... This is not where the big heavy. I'm not going to stick my foot.
It's been a turd.
I was going to say the heavy lifting is next door, isn't it?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I think there's heavy lifting done by all involved. I don't think that I would look at Connor and tell him he's not doing heavy lifting.
Yeah,
he's doing quite heavy lifting.
And by the way, Giolito's doing curls with like 2 pounds weight right now. The way his heavy lifting is not good.
Well, he came into today's outing. What was it? I heard the guys talking about it. His ERA in the last four starts was over 8, wasn't it?
Yes. Who did I hear? I think it was Connor today with Carmen and Yurko, or maybe it was with Hoodie and Cap. And he mentioned that over those span, like his latest span of work, he basically, the numbers against him is basically what Aaron Judge does against all hitters, all pitchers, I should say. Like, what Giolito is allowing in these games, it's something like, I want to say, too, like 9 home runs in his last 5 games,
Well,
Eric.
You can remove the Aaron Judge name and just put the kid, the catcher for the Blue Jays, Kirk,
he crushes him.
Hit his third home run off of Giolito this year.
Giolito had an ERA, I want to say, last month in the 2s. And over here it is. This is good. This is from Ryan McGuffey from NBC Sports Chicago. Eric just gave it to me. Over his last 25 and two-thirds innings, he has allowed 27 runs, 40 hits, 9 home runs, and an ERA of 9.47. I mean,
he's not missing bats.
No, and it's You know, it's a good thing that you were able to win two out of three from Toronto. You had a chance to sweep them. But again, like, you don't have much of a chance when you go down 7-0. And Lucas Giolito, like one of the callers said in the postgame show, we know Lance Lynn is very good. Dylan Cease has been super this year. Kopech has shown you that he is capable of being a really good starter. But Lucas Giolito was the guy 2 years ago with the no-hitter where he pronounces his arrival, the commercial going, that he went from one of the worst ERAs in baseball to one of the best pitchers in baseball. And we always thought there would be a new level that Giolito would hit, that wasn't the top shelf level that he had to offer. We always thought there was going to be another step that Giolito was taking, and he wanted to make big money. He wasn't happy with the Sox offer and the arbitration this year. But instead, in these last five outings, going from a 2-something ERA into the threes into the now mid-fives.
He's been a liability. Yeah, it hasn't been good. Not missing bats. Doesn't look like he's got good command on a lot of his stuff. There's a lot of good things about this White Sox team that get you excited. Like, the bats are alive. Like Vaughn has hit the ball as well or better than anyone in the month of June. I believe he has the highest batting average in all of Major League Baseball in the month of June. He had three more hits today. Before Mendick got hurt, you know, he was in for TA, who got the day off. Mendick has been a nice fill-in player. I think he's been down to AAA twice on two occasions so far this year, but he keeps grinding. He came back up, and he's played well. Robert is hitting the baseball. You know, you have seen some really good things that encourage you. Josh, you know, Harrison has you know, arrived and contributed a couple of times over the last couple.
He had a chance to be a hero today, too. He could have hit a grand slam there and tied the game.
Like, on paper, not only do they, you know, are they impressive because of some of their resumes, but then you see the bats alive. But this team still isn't playing clean, solid, consistent baseball. There are base running mistakes. There's defensive mistakes. Obviously, Giolito was an issue today, but it's just not clean enough. It really isn't. If you want to be considered one of the elite teams that is competing for a World Series championship, do they have enough to work with? We could debate that. But right now, even when they are good, there are moments in games that they win that still leave you puzzled and frustrated. Last night was one of those incidents. You had Tim get picked off. As good as Tim is playing, I mean, I don't know that there's anyone who's hitting the ball consistently better than Tim other than Aaron Judge and a few others. But he's been phenomenal. But Tim needs to make the play behind second base last night as well. So even in a game where they win, they still leave you wanting more.
It's all, and to me, it's like with my 8 and 6 year olds that I have at home, I'm always saying to my wife, it's always something, you know, like Allie is always texting me, this one had this today. And I'm like, oh, it's always something with an 8 and a 6 year old. I feel the same way, what you mentioned with the White Sox, that there's so much that Sox fans should like and even love about this team. I mentioned Kopech and Cease.
Yeah.
And now Robert with his hit streak and Abreu in the last month that he's had. Yeah, Vaughn, I mean, what Vaughn did, I heard Len talk about today, his OPS against right-handed hitters or pitchers this year is like mid-800s when it was 600 last year. We didn't know if he could hit righties. There have been so many steps that this team has taken, but it's always something. It's always Tim Anderson getting picked off of first in a 1-0 game when there's a runner on second. What are you doing? There's a guy in front of you. Where are you going? Why are you getting picked off? Whether it's Giolito today when you're trying to go for the sweep and you're behind 7-0 in a blink of an eye. It's Tony La Russa with an intentional walk at 1-2. It's the injuries galore.
How about your outfielders turning singles into doubles for the opponent because you're lacking hustle as well? That's my point, is just when you're starting to get enthusiastic and you think, okay, you know, this team's about to explode, they do, like you say, there's always something.
It's always something. And, Danny Mendick has been a really good find this year. And then, boom, Danny Mendick is colliding in left field, trying to make a play. And we don't know what the situation is with him right now.
And if you think we're being too negative, I would just say, okay, maybe we are accentuating the negative as well as we are accentuating the positive. But at the end of the day, their record reflects who they've been. They're a game under 500.
Again. And, like, you just are waiting for that moment where they wave goodbye to 500 for good.
Yeah.
Where they just hit the gas, and then you blink, and they're six above 500, and they're not flirting. They keep going a little above. Like, they'll hit 500 first time since May, and then today they take this step back, and it's, again, the always something. And where are you going if Giolito isn't great? Or even very good, and maybe he can figure this stuff out. But it isn't what Sox fans thought. You never thought you'd be here on what day is it? June 22nd.
Yeah, a game under 500. Listen, we could sit here and blow smoke up your rear end and tell you that things are better than they are. But it's the expectation level as well. This is a team that's gotten to the postseason in each of the last 2 years.
Yeah,
and made no hay in the postseason. Like, that's not acceptable anymore for this team.
Right.
It's just not. They're not. They are built at this moment to be a team that competes in the postseason, and right now they find themselves at a game under 500, so they haven't met lofty expectations. That's on them as a group.
If you want to weigh in on anything, and Jed Hoyer spoke today, let me reset a few things because there's a trade in the NBA, too. I don't know if you saw it. Oh, you did see it.
I did see that.
A lot going on today, and there's some really sad news today, too. The Ravens, their day is as tragic as it gets. First of all, the White Sox lose 9-5. Like I said, Giolito, again, has not been great. As far as the NBA trade, Detroit, this is a guy that a lot of Bulls fans were focusing on at the trade deadline. Jeremy Grant, who is the nephew of Horace Grant, the son of Harvey Grant, has been traded to Portland for a 2025 first-round pick via Milwaukee. So it's a pick that they own through the Milwaukee Bucks, sources tell ESPN. According to Woj, the 2025 first-round pick via Milwaukee is protected numbers 1-4. You don't have to worry about that because the Bucks are really, really good anyway. So it's going to be a lower-level first-round pick. Detroit sends Grant into a $21 million trade exception, and the Pistons now have $43 million in salary cap for free agency. I mean, I don't know. It's another one of those guys who you maybe thought the Bulls could be looking at in AK. Are they interested in Rudy Gobert? Who are some of the other guys that they could be targeting here with just over 24 hours before the NBA draft?
It's a good question. I think it's going to be exciting, and I think AK has, you know, he has a track record, albeit a short one, of not sitting and hanging on to his assets, as you like to say about the previous regime. It'll be exciting. I think tomorrow will be an exciting day for Bulls fans because change is always something that excites you. And I think that there's a good chance that you will see some.
We got news today in the NFL. Tony Siragusa, a guy very well known, a Super Bowl champion, a well known announcer for many years, super colorful guy. You knew Tony as well.
Yeah, I crossed paths with Tony a bit.
He passed away at the age of 55 today. And there's no cause of death. The Ravens announced it. I think Jamal Lewis told TMZ about this, and that's how the story broke. And they also lost, I believe his name is Jalen Ferguson today, one of their linebacker rush ends, who is on their team currently in his mid-20s, all in the same day. It's just a tragic news coming out of Baltimore today.
Yeah, bad news. Tough day for Baltimore Ravens fans. Tony was such a colorful guy. Had a very, very, I thought he had an excellent media career. Was somebody that really gave a little bit of oomph to the Fox broadcast for a number of years. And 55 is just too young to say goodbye.
Yeah, I had the only time I met Tony Siragusa was at the Indianapolis Combine. Greg Blosch, who I did a weekly show with, asked me and my agent at the time to go out to dinner with a big group at one of the steakhouses in like a private room. And in the room was Tony Siragusa.
Holding court.
And is it Who's the Colts' longtime offensive coordinator under Peyton Manning? Was it Tom Moore?
He was their offensive line coach, I believe, and their offensive coordinator.
And I believe he coached Saragusa back earlier in his career, and they were there.
Yeah.
And you talk about an intimidating table to be at.
Yeah.
With Blash, who I just adored, but like with Saragusa and how outgoing he was, and this legendary coach for so many years with the Colts, with Moore, and you just sat back and you sort of you minded your business and you listened to the stories and you let them go.
Yeah, he was a fun, lovable guy that enjoyed life, and Ike Yurko probably crossed paths with him quite a bit as well. But yeah, again, 55, way too young. No cause of death has been reported.
He always reminded me of like a doppelganger of Yurko. Like I felt like Yurko could have easily had the same broadcasting career on Fox Television as an analyst if him and Tony Siragusa weren't so similar.
Yeah.
You know, like you couldn't put,
I think that's what Yurko says. Isn't the story where Yurko, who did some Fox games, didn't they say we already, or maybe it wasn't him, but they had already enough Tony Siragusas? They had enough Matt Millen / Tony Siragusa type players?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right, Sylvia. I'm absolutely sure you're correct about that. The one thing is, though, I liked Siragusa. He was a very good, an excellent player. He was a member
He was a fantastic player.
99, that elite defense to the Ravens that went on to
won a Super Bowl.
One of the best of all time. He was really good on the sidelines, but I think Yurko actually would have been better if he was in the Siragusa role, if that makes sense.
I agree with you. I think there's more substance to the good kid. Tony was very good at his job, but I think you're right. I think Johnny does a really good job breaking down games. Both of those guys are on a football team, and any sports team, are guys that others kind of gravitate to because they make you laugh. They take a tense and a difficult situation and make it more enjoyable. Like you're in the midst of double sessions and somebody like Tony or the good kid says something or does something funny. And it's exactly what a team needs to kind of break the ice and get everybody back, feeling good about certain things. You need guys like that on your team that they play a significant role, not just in their ability and from those guys' perspective to get to the quarterback or be run stuffers, but they serve a purpose as team leaders in the way that they comport themselves.
And they're not guys who like run a 4.3 40 or who jump 40 inches. So they're guys who are like the everyman type.
Which is why like when you hear Andy Reid or Sean Payton come on the air with Carmen and Yurko,
right.
You see and you hear how much those coaches think of John, not just as a player, but also an important component to the chemistry of a team. And Tony was like that as well during his playing.
Yeah. Meller, I want to say that ESPN announced, and I don't know how much of it is in the can. I was talking to, it's very, very, though, workmanlike in this booth, I got to tell you, that when Connor's doing his post-game show, it's a different side to Connor. Connor's all business here. All business, and he's focused, and you got to keep your chatter to a low. And I tried to whisper in Waddle's ear, I go, I think ESPN has announced a 30 for 30 on that Ravens team.
I did not know
Or something. There was some sort of a programming note about that Ravens team that maybe not a 30 for 30. Can you guys Google that back at the station? And I want to say that I'm hoping a lot of it's in the can so we get to see Tony Siragusa tell the stories. There was something that was announced recently about that team because they were on Hard Knocks, too, after they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, you're right, Sylvie. Back in May, so what's it, a month ago, the story of the Ravens' first Super Bowl-winning team, led, of course, by that defense and Ray Lewis. There's a 30 for 30 on it coming up. I don't know if I have the date.
So I don't know how much they've taken. Like, I want to... obviously, and like they had a lot of controversy with Ray Lewis on that team and what happened at the previous Super Bowl.
It was a very colorful team. Not only a very accomplished team, a very colorful team.
In our lifetime, right? I mean, we always look at the Steel Curtain, and then we look at that Ravens team as the two that were on par with the Bears of 85, right?
Yeah.
The Bears of 85 are the creme de la creme for the defense. And the other two in the team photo, Steelers, Steel Curtain, Ravens that year for what they did and just how incredible Ray Lewis was in dominating at that point.
And I'll never forget, too, because that team always was so odd. They start out 5-1, but they went on like a three-game losing streak, and Tony Banks was their starting quarterback to begin the year. And he just couldn't do anything offensively, but they were still so good defensively that they were winning football games. Eventually, they turned to Trent Dilfer as their quarterback.
Right, Trent Dilfer. Pretty incredible. So really sad news for the Ravens today. So again, White Sox lose 9-5. The NBA draft is tomorrow. Jeremy Grant was just traded to Portland, according to Woj. Couple of show notes for you. And then I want to play you some Jed Hoyer, who is on the station today with Cap and Jay Hood. And I have more questions than I do answers from that interview. Number one, Charles Barkley is going to join us for Can't Miss Radio tomorrow at 3. You talk about getting the guy, and he's in. There's a lot going on with Chuck these days.
Is he going to be at Game 4 tonight in Tampa?
Maybe. Maybe he's called the commissioner again. Maybe. He's good friends with John Cooper. He was recently going back and forth. KD was just tweeting about him, about driving the bus, you know, and everything like that. I'm sure all the good stuff. Should the Bulls go after Rudy Gobert? Lots of good stuff to talk to Chuck. He's going to be on with us at 3 o'clock tomorrow. So put a little note in your brain or in your phone, maybe one of those alerts. It's scheduled at 3 o'clock tomorrow on ESPN 1100.3 HD2. Or, of course, you can watch it on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
I'm sure he'll have comments about the new golf tour as well. You don't care about
that.
He may care about
He may, And he's always opinionated about stuff. And then another thing, Friday, we have a busy few days. We're at the Sox. We're at Guaranteed Rate right now doing the post game. We have Chuck on tomorrow for NBA Draft. And then Friday, we're going to be out in Crystal Lake at Fire Bar celebrating Miller Time. We saw a lot of our teammates celebrating Miller Time today.
Neither one of us, I guess you would say, we were not partaking in the celebration the way that others were because we had to do the show.
Did you have one?
I did not.
No.
Did not.
You went, wow, look at you.
I kept myself clean.
So we will be celebrating Miller Time on Friday. The bar is called Fire Bar and Grill. I believe we've been there before. We always do well out in the far northwest burbs, so come on out to Crystal Lake. Friday we'll have some Sox tickets to give away as well, ESPN swag. It's going to be a great time. Make sure you're there. So Jed Hoyer was on the station today. There was one answer that I did not get, and I believe it's the most important answer for any Cubs fan currently. You will hear some of that interview, and I will tell you what that is coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
We're live on the Southside Guaranteed Rate Field. Sox lose today. Waddle and I took in the game with some of our ESPN 1000 partners. It was great to see. So George from Windy City Limo.
Yes.
It was great to see George. I saw my guy John from Connie's Frozen Pizza.
I saw George from Flossmoor Golf Club.
Oh.
Who else did I see?
We saw someone from your spot in Edison Park.
Oh, Tavern on the Point.
Yes.
Beautiful place there. I believe another George was the person we saw, and saw all of our friends at Xfinity as well.
That's so great. It was a good time. A lot of our teammates there. Saw Jesse Rogers and Dion Miller earlier in the day.
I
met Courtney Cronin for the first time in person.
And as I told her, and you'll probably make fun of me for this as well, I told her she has been such a tremendous addition to our team at ESPN 1000, ESPN Chicago, and just overall on the Chicago Bears beat. She does great work, and she's been, like I said, she's been a great addition.
Great addition, and her contacts are absolutely awesome. I want to play you some of the Jed Hoyer. I talked to Cap. I talked to Hoodie today. You know, Jed likes to speak.
Yeah.
And a lot of his answers are long. But what he's saying in the answers is not a lot. Now, I don't care about that. And here you'll hear him talk about a soundbite. Because I don't care. I'm going to judge him on what he does, not what he says.
Sure.
Hoodie, I want to bring up this point first about Hoodie wanted to know what he should call this. And I believe the question's in on this. Like, what is this part of Cubs baseball? Because is it a rebuild? Is it a reset? Is it, you know, they keep saying we're building the next great Cubs team. But what is this stage that we're in? And listen to Hoodie and Jed talk about that.
So Cubs baseball, eye on the future. Is that what you want me to say? Because, you know, in the past, it was, what was it, Cap? It was what Ed Lynch said, we're working on it. Was that Cubs baseball we're working on? Or building a new tradition?
Correct.
Okay, so Cubs baseball, eye on the future. Is that it?
I mean, I'm honestly not a marketing person.
You know, like, but you gotta look. Here's the thing.
But you're asking me for a soundbite to define something that I think has tremendous nuance. I mean,
well,
you know, to put a soundbite on what we did from coming here in 2011 up until the World Series. I don't think you can just put a soundbite on, like, you know, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of hirings and decisions on a daily basis. And so, you know, I've said that before, like, my job isn't to label what we're doing. My job is to try to be clear about what we're doing, and to make really good decision after really good decision after really good decision. So, you know, if you guys want to, you know, sort of like try to distill that into a few words, that's your decision. I don't think that's something that I should be doing. You know, ultimately for me, like I said, you know, on the show too many times, like, you know, my focus, like I said, is, you know, sort of building this back to have a great young core, to build a foundation of an organization that then we can build on top of that, to build something truly special. That's my focus. And like, I can't give you two or three words that encapsulate all that we're trying to accomplish.
Maybe I'm different from most. I don't.
I would say that's a fair statement.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's a good point. I really don't care what he calls it. I don't care what Ryan Poles calls what the Bears are doing. I know what he's doing. I'm not stupid.
To rebuild.
Right. Like, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
It's a duck.
It's a rebuild going on with the Cubs. It's a rebuild going on with the Bears. I don't need Jed to be, quote, transparent to me to tell me what they're doing. Here's what I need to hear him say, and I did not hear it today. I want to know when the Cubs are going to be in trying to win mode again. Because right now what they're...
There's a huge financial component to that.
Right, and there's something about money coming up here that I want you to hear. But this year, what Cubs fans are pissed about is the level of embarrassment and the level of unwatchability, if that's a word. I can't even tune in to the games these days. To watch Swarmer pitch yesterday, and, you know, we were talking about Giolito being down. They're down 7-1 like that.
Yeah.
You know, and Jed talked about that. I want to know when they're not trying to win right now. They're not. And I don't have any faith that the other side of the rainbow will give me what it gave me in 15-20. And what, because the first time they did it with Theo, I did buy in. And I did believe there was a good plan. I don't know if they know what their plan is. I don't know if Jed knows when they're not going to suck again or when they're going to try again or when Tom's going to give them money again. That, to me, is what I would ask Jed clearly. I would pin him down. You joked about it. It sounds dirty. And I would say, Jed, when are you going to try and win again? I'm not asking you when you're going to win a World Series. I'm not asking you when you're going to make the playoffs. But when are you in it to try to win it? Because this year is an embarrassment.
You know, the huge difference between then and now, it's not just that Theo isn't here and he was here then. You felt like you had a core of young players that even if you weren't winning the number of games that you wanted to win, you could see there was potential there. Where's the core with this group?
He talked about that.
You're playing Wisdom and Schwindel. And you're playing Jay Hay.
VR, right. And he talked about Jay Hay, why he's playing.
I mean, like, that's the difference to me is there's no one to really – I mean, Christopher Morel. I mean, no offense to him, but
– Hoodie did a good job of asking, too, about where are the pillars. Yes. And he goes, look, this I'm trying to create a picture. He's like, there's just a little ink or paint on the – on the paper right now, on the canvas.
Yeah.
He doesn't. So that's like they're still in teardown mode. They're probably going to trade Contreras. Could they trade Stroman? They're going to trade Hendricks. They're still not. I don't know if they're at bottom. And then is next year going to be another year where they serve us a bunch of crap where they don't try again instead of like at least trying to field a watchable, likable team?
Well, and look, they're a big market team, and I know the conversation has been, you know, off and on with regard to the responsibility of what's going on up there. Where does it lie? And it does lie at the feet of Tom Ricketts in a lot of ways. He has hired Jed to be the guy in charge of baseball decisions, but they are basically, from a financial perspective, on statements that Tom has made, the financially, in some ways, they're running their big market team as a small market team.
Yes, exactly. And Jed did say, and this is a part that I had debates with Jesse about, Jed's at fault. Theo's hugely at fault for why they're in this situation, and Tom's at fault too. But Jed did say today that if he had a do-over and some of the mistakes that they learned, they should have reset it after 18. The year when Theo said our offense is broke, and then they go out and they sign Descalso, that's their big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, Cap brought that up today. That's when they should have, and they maybe wouldn't have had to tear it down. And then you could have reshuffled the team and gone, taken a step back to go forward and continue the run.
It's hard to do when you're still basking a year or two, you know, a year and a half removed from winning a World Series title for the first time in 100 years. I can see how that would be hard to shift gears and go in the complete opposite direction.
Here's Jed on the money. This is what you brought up. So they asked him again, when will the Cubs start to spend? When will money be available for Jed? Take a listen.
The financial part is something I really never spend time thinking about. You know, I know that, sort of when we, you know, need to hit the gas and be aggressive, I know that'll be there. It was last time. You know, if you look at our kind of where our payrolls were pre-2015, you know, certainly we didn't, you know, we weren't aggressive, you know, from a free agent standpoint up until that point that we got really aggressive. And so I know that money will be there. And then, you know, it's a dicey thing to talk about where we are from a financial standpoint. But what I would say is, you know, I look at my job is to invest every dollar as wisely as possible. And sometimes that means, you know, pushing the budget right up to the very limits and even, you know, pushing beyond it and asking Tom for more money, which we've done on a number of occasions. And sometimes it's about really, you know, thinking about it, like, is this the wisest thing for now, or can those dollars have a way more impact in the future? And yeah, there's no question I had a lot of those thoughts during the course of the winter, and making sure that we maximized every dollar. You know, I think that's my job, is to make really wise financial decisions. And so, yes, there's no question that we have some resources, and I want to make sure that I use them at the right time, and I want to make sure I use them wisely. But as far as the questions about is the money there, is it going to be there, are we going to spend, you know, like a quote unquote big market, I mean, absolutely, that's something that I never think about, never concerns me.
You know, so having said that, is this the off season? Is this off season the time to be aggressive in the free agent market?
I don't want to call our shot. I mean, I think that, you know, again, I mean, my job is to make, you know, wise investments and to make sure that, you know, you can only spend every dollar once, right? So making sure that we're smart about it. But, you know, certainly there's going to be good players available, and you know, we have some resources, but, you know, doing deals just to do them isn't the wise thing. You know, what, again, like my focus here is going to be, and it's going to, you know, I'll say it over and over, is to build something great. And, you know, you can't do that by being frivolous. So I want to make sure that we spend money wisely. But yeah, there are a lot of good players available, and, you know, certainly we're going to be active in the free agent market.
You know, what stood out to me most is that he said, because the money was available in 2015, because it was available then, it's going to be available now. And my question would be is, how can you convince Cub fans of that when the landscape is different? The landscape is entirely different. I don't believe that correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know that the family had invested as much yet into the area. Like, the biblical losses concept or idea was not on anybody's brain. COVID was not on anybody's mind because it hadn't happened yet. So it's, you're in an entirely different realm in 2022 heading into this post off season than you were back then. And I just don't know that you can draw a straight line between their ability and the willingness to spend money back in 2015 and now, because they're, what they have done building their franchise and all of the ancillary things attached to their franchise makes them an entirely different entity.
Right. Is Tom Ricketts is hungry now that they've won a World Series, now that he's gotten everything he's wanted out of Wrigleyville.
Right.
He's renovated it. He's gotten his Jumbotron. He's got his network. He's got the hotel. And is Jed Hoyer good enough like Theo was? So I've got questions on the ability of Jed, and I've got questions about my owner and about going out and trying to buy a soccer team while saying, here's your baseball team, Cubs fans. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
You won't be able to watch them by the end of June. And that's where I start getting, where I go from between apathetic and not watching them to when I start talking about them, getting a little more
riled
up. Yeah,
I just don't know that I buy it hook, line, and sinker that because they spent back in 2015 when the landscape was different, that automatically that means they're going to spend
right.
in 2022.
Right. They may spend when they get better, but is that next year? Are we going to have another unwatchable season on the north side while they charge us? And that's the other point, the most expensive experience in all of Major League Baseball. They're not cutting that back.
No.
They're not saying, look, we're discounting prices because we're discounting our team. They're like, here it is.
There's a lot of debt, I would assume, attached to all of the beautiful, improvements that they've made in that area. I told you when Tom Ricketts bought that team, I said in 5 years you're going to love your baseball team, or at the very least you're going to love the area because they have plans and the plan
and
will
you were
be
right.
magnificent.
You were right.
But is the price tag attached to all of that greatness in terms of making the area look fantastic? Is it something that is now affecting their payroll and their willingness right. to spend the way
no,
they did before?
No one told Tom Ricketts he had to do that.
Totally, I get it.
Like, he wanted it all. He's the business guy.
My point is, and you're 100% right, and I'm not letting him off the hook. What I'm saying is the landscape was different in 2015. I'm sure the place is magnificent. I'm sure there's a lot more debt against them than there was back then because of the different business initiatives that they've bought into.
Right. Jed was on for about a half hour. You can get it on the ESPN Chicago app like you get all your pods. A new Crosstalk Unhinged just dropped today. Yesterday, make that an early one for this week. Check it out. It was very funny. We want your participation as well. So that was Jed Hoyer earlier today again. Waddle and I will be out at Fire Bar in Crystal Lake. A very busy week for us. We've got the NBA draft tomorrow. We'll be out at Fire Bar in Crystal Lake on Friday. It's going to be Miller time. Make sure you join us if you're up in that neck of the woods. And also Charles Barkley is going to be on with us tomorrow at 3 o'clock for Can't Miss Radio. Black and Abdallah, always Can't Miss. We'll crosstalk with the boys coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Fire Bar and Grill, Friday. That's the day. Be with Waddle and me for Miller time at this time. We'll be drinking ice cold Miller Lite, giving away White Sox tickets as well. Told you earlier about the Jeremy Grant trade, Detroit to Portland. And Rob Schaefer from NBC Chicago had a good tweet about that. Remember, the Bulls have a future first-round pick from the Blazers that's lottery-protected. So every time the Blazers don't make the postseason, the Blazers keep that pick. As soon as the Blazers do get a playoff spot, one of the top 8 seeds in the West, the Bulls will get their first round pick.
Nice.
So in other words, Jeremy Grant going to Portland with Dame, and maybe they do some more stuff here, maybe they'll be more competitive in 2023, 2024. So hopefully they get that pick soon instead of it like turning into a second round pick like some of the other stuff has happened in years past. So you want Portland to be good.
Yeah.
So Jeremy Grant going to them is not a bad thing.
Well said. And remember, Schaefer, the beer to have when you're having more than one.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe the best advertising promotion in the history.
All that over Rob Schaefer. It
yes.
makes you think of beer yes. and old.
Yeah, all the other complicated NBA crap right there. I couldn't concentrate on it because the only thing I could think of was the old Schaefer commercial.
Yeah.
The beer to have when you're having more than one.
You boys have a full ride tonight, don't you? 6 to 8?
Yes, sir.
Indeed.
Absolutely. Sylvie, I thought you were going to go to, like, here's Portland. They're making moves. Maybe they could take a Vooch off our hands. I thought that's where you were going with that.
Get your Vooch over here. Get your Vooch.
It was because, remember, next year I don't believe the Bulls have their first-round pick because of Vooch. So the more first-round picks they can ultimately get eventually, the better.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, right now, what? They're sitting 18th for tomorrow night. I love draft night, and I love the time that leads up to the NBA draft. And we have this Jerami Grant trade to talk about tonight, but what else could happen around the league? It seems like all of the chatter and the smoke is starting to rise here before tomorrow night.
All right, so make a prediction, Chris and Adam. What will happen with your Chicago Bulls as tomorrow unfolds and the draft becomes a thing?
I don't think, if I had to put my money on one thing, it's that they don't pick at 18.
I would agree with you, Abdallah.
Like that.
Like whether they trade back or
no,
they make
up,
a bigger trade.
Up.
Oh, up? I don't
up.
Think they're trading up.
Up.
Why trade up?
Up.
For who?
Up.
I've heard
when
this
we,
is a deeper draft.
Well, when we were at the White Sox game, Chris Bleck made a good point about a potential Duke player that I hadn't heard before. It's a combination
we were at a baseball game.
We were at a baseball game, and we were talking.
All we were doing is we were standing around
talking NBA draft.
NBA
well, that'll happen when your favorite team or the team you're here to support is down 9-0.
You're like, grand slam! All right, guys. So, what do you think the Bulls are going to do tomorrow night?
You guys
know
how it is in this company. There's a bunch of chesty Bucks fans walking around, and the Bucks fans want to remind you that the Bulls didn't get out of the first round, and then I remind them that they didn't get past the second round this year. So congrats on your one championship every 40 years. What did they go 71 and 2021? So congrats.
Yeah.
Okay,
so the chat was what if the Bulls somehow could land Mark Williams, the center from Duke, with that 18th pick, or could they move up a couple of spots to land him? I feel like what we saw just in the NBA finals, centers still matter, and I know the Gobert chatter's out there, but if you could find a young big who can maybe do some of those things, blocking shots, he almost averaged 3 blocked shots per game last year at Duke. I wonder if then that frees you up to use Vooch to then get a perimeter player, and then you kind of fix the roster in a different fashion than just going all in on Gobert.
Chris, who's the big, I think, for the Knicks? Isn't he that's going to be a free agent?
Oh, Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah.
Is he worth pursuing?
The Bulls have been linked to him, too, past.
Yes. He would definitely be an addition, but I don't think he would be a replacement. He'd be like a backup guy off the bench.
I would be shocked, but like anything could happen if AK goes up. Like, everything I've heard is that this, I heard Billis today and Greeny, is that this is a draft that you could get good players all the way through the number 48 pick, is what Billis said.
Sure.
And so, like, I just feel like any of their assets that they have, and they have very limited assets, that they are going to go out for a proven player instead of going up into the draft.
Yeah, but you could, I mean, what's Kobe White going to get you? So if Kobe White's not getting you much of anything, you trade 18 and Kobe White to move up and get a better player than you would at 18 or after that.
I was reading about Kobe White today. I'm like, who's in the market for an inconsistent shooter who doesn't have a position and can't play defense?
Well, Cowley said that they're taking a bunch of calls for him.
Yeah, but it's usually Kobe and the 18th pick. It's a pairing.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Like you're not going to get anything for just Kobe White.
No.
Hey guys, we have a big thing taking place at 6:35 tonight. A live rescue is allowing us to name their newest dog.
Oh, that's great!
And we are going to do that at 6:35. So in about 30 minutes from right now, we need your help. If you have any great name ideas, it could be station related, it could be Chicago sports related.
What kind of dog, Chris?
You know, I can't really tell what type of dog
it's like
is.
It looks like a mix. It's kind of a mutt, but it's like a mid-sized white dog.
Yes.
It's like with like not shaggy hair, but not short hair.
Thin hair. He's a boy from South Korea. They just got him in. He needs a name, and he's up for adoption. And if you want to adopt or donate, you can go to aliverescue.org. And we raise, here at the station at Grip It and Sip It, we raised $12,000 for a live rescue.
That's amazing.
My name was already rejected. I wanted to name
it. What was yours?
Jeff.
My name is Jeff.
See, that was great.
I love it. All right, boys, we'll have a good show. We'll be listening. We got to drive, so we'll be listening. Can't wait.
Locked in.
Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Bye, guys.
Fleck and Abdallah coming up here shortly. We're live. Thank you to everyone at Guaranteed Rate Field for rolling out the red carpet.
We're going to have to turn off the lights. We're the last ones here.
Eric Ostrowski helped us here. Connor McKnight back at the shop. It's Jeff Meller. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Wednesday night.